Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, good to be with you in the 7 o'clock hour. We are going to open up the phone lines if you want to talk ball. And if you don't, I got all kinds of stuff I want to talk about. But if you wanted to get into any of this stuff that we've been talking about throughout the course of the day, Mike Schilts addressed this morning. And he's, you know, I mean, I know a lot of you couldn't get in last week. We only had about an hour or so of phone calls after the news came out. If you want to go forward and talk about managerial candidates, really, there's a lot of ways you can go, and you're welcome to join me in this hour. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120 if you want to get in on the phones. Again, just talk about the managerial change. Does this at all, and I'm asking you a couple of questions in this, does this at all impact your view of 2022? You know, I said this during the Cards conference with Tom Ackerman today. The two of us were on. We did almost 2 hours. Tons and tons of questions and comments and all kinds of stuff to get through. And I addressed this topic before, but I think that this raises the stakes on 2022. I mean, you don't make a change like this because you have a certain path forward that you're looking for, only to see things go backward or stay the same, right? I mean, the idea of some kind of change or new emphasis point or anything along those lines, you would think that would be about getting better, right? Improving the team. So I do think that this all increases pressure. And when you think about all of the things that are at stake for 2022, I mean, look, it's the last year for Yadier Molina. He's going to retire. We don't know if Adam Wainwright's going to retire, but it seems like a really distinct possibility. So, you know, you have the potential for it to be the last 2 years for those guys. It's another potential walk year for Nolan Arenado. I mean, he has another chance to opt out after 2022. He's already said he's not opting out this year, but think about it. I mean, I know he likes it here. He's been very clear. People close to him have said that separately from what he said. So I have no reason to think that he doesn't love being a Cardinal and doesn't want to be here for a long time. He has said from the beginning that he wants to be here for a long time. But that doesn't mean that things don't change his mind. And, you know, we have to understand that whoever is hired by the Cardinals will certainly be in an important spot in the clubhouse, because you want this group, you want this group to be behind what you're doing. I mean, you know, you just took away from them somebody that they really liked playing for. And, you know, I've not heard anything otherwise from any players, from anybody else. I've not heard otherwise. And in fact, Yadier Molina is the only one whose comments we've seen publicly about this. He spoke to reporters in Puerto Rico and, you know, mentioned that, you know, he said there's no problem in the clubhouse that I knew of. And I think if there were a problem, he would be one of the people that would know about it. So, yeah, you had a guy that was popular in that room. A lot of these people knew him from, you know, a lot of these players knew him from the minor leagues. So I think there is definitely a trust factor that's going to have to be in place. I mean, again, it's a big year in 2022, and it's made bigger in part because of this decision. Because this, and I agree with Derek Gould on this, he's been writing something similar to this, and I'm paraphrasing, but like, you know, this will be the third managerial hire for this group since Mike Matheny came in. So really in 10 years, it's your third manager. And the first two were brought in under the premise that these are Cardinals people. They're insiders. They appreciate the Cardinals way. They're people that we had relationships with, right? These are people that we trust. These are people that we say embody all of the things that we want a Cardinals manager to be. And you've canned both of them. And I do think that that clearly puts the pressure on the front office. Now, I don't think they care about that. Personally, I don't think that those, I don't think that, I mentioned this part during the Cards conference earlier today too. I don't think the Cardinals front office cares if like somebody like me on the radio disagrees with them, or if somebody writing a column disagrees with them or questions them or anybody rips them. I don't think they care. But the people they are listening to are the people that buy tickets. And they're listening to those voices, and they're listening to how those people speak non-verbally. In other words, how many people are buying tickets? How many people are still buying merchandise? How many people are involved and engaged? How many hits are they getting on the website? Like, they're tracking the behaviors of Cardinals fans and their customers. And what you speak to them through actions is going to help dictate how they react to it. And again, I'm not talking about them going on Twitter and saying, wow, people are yelling on Twitter. I guess we better do something about that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's part of the thing that they're not worried about. But they are looking at television ratings. They're going to look at, again, tickets sold. And not just tickets sold, but people in the stadium too, like butts in seats. Not just tickets sold, because some tickets get sold before the year to ticket brokers and all of that. And, well, you know, that doesn't always equal a person in that seat in the stadium on a given day. I mean, sure, you sold the ticket, but you didn't sell any beer. You didn't sell any food. You didn't get anybody in the parking spot. You know, like, there's a lot of other things that go on at the ballpark outside of just the ticket sale. So feel free to chime in if you'd like. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Rob's going to go first and give us his thoughts on all this. Thanks for calling in, Rob. What's going on tonight? We there? You sure? Do we have it? Do we have the phone calls up? He dropped. I didn't drop. What's going on? Rob, you can call back if you'd like. We'll get you back in. So feel free. We got room for you if you want to join in. 314-436-7900. Oh, look at that. Rob's calling back. 800-925-1120. We'll get back to your calls in a minute here on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in on Sports Open Line. Let's get to the phone lines. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. All right, I said we get back to Rob and give him a shot. We get back. I think we have our technical difficulties figured out. What's on your mind, Rob?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mozeliak blew it on this one. Put yourself in the shoes of the players. What do you think they're thinking? I mean, Shield had these guys in sync. They came back after they lost Flaherty. The team was totally out of alignment, and then they came back. They went 17 in a row. and they're just flat out screwing this guy, Shildt, and he did everything right and had him going and momentum for the organization, and then out of nowhere, Mozeliak calls this hasty called press conference. Something stinks here. There's something going on that we don't know about. And I think it has to do with the potential of new ownership.
No, stop. Listen, stop. That makes no sense, Rob.
Why?
Well, what would a manager know about that? You're suggesting that...
No. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the ownership group, there's a good chance that they are in the position to sell the club.
Based on what?
The new owners... Pardon me?
Based on what information?
Based on this. The fact that what they're dealing with crime, what they're dealing with the pandemic. I mean...
So you think they should sell low? You think that makes sense? Sell low?
No, I think they can get whatever price they want for the Cardinals.
But things are so bad, they can get whatever price they want. That doesn't make any sense.
This team isn't bad. This team made it to the...
No, you just are telling me, well, because of COVID losses and crime downtown, that... You know, things are bad, so they might want to get out, but they can get premium dollars, even though that's the case. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I disagree with you because I think we're talking about the Cardinals. I think this is a prize franchise.
So another billionaire would say, I'm not worried about those things that are bothering you. I'll give you top dollar.
I think they would give top dollar for the Cardinals.
I think they would, too, but the reason they would is because those things are not problems right now.
All right, well, let me just make a prediction right now.
Go ahead.
The team next year, they're going to go into the tank. I promise you the momentum they have has just hit the wall, and they're not going to respond to a new manager.
How do you know?
You
who is the new manager?
I don't know who it is, but they're...
So if they bring in Skip Schumacher, they're just going to bail on a guy that half this locker room's known for 10 years.
I'm saying they're going to come out in the spring in a funk. Plain and simple, because of the fire skill.
I mean, they came out in a funk this year, dude. They had Mike Shildt the whole year, and it took them until September to figure it out. How would we know it's any different?
You're wrong, sir. The loss of Flaherty. the loss of Flaherty is the equivalent of, you know, driving your car, you're leading the pack, and all of a sudden you hit a pothole. Your whole team is out of alignment, but then they came back.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree with you that injuries were a problem. But Milwaukee lost players left and right all season long, and they won 95 games.
I still say the Cardinals were the better team for the Central, and Flaherty wouldn't have been hurt. It would have been a completely different season.
I mean,
so watch what happens next year. Watch what happens. They're going to tank. Watch it happen.
What do you mean tank? I don't understand what you mean.
I'm saying here...
Are you saying just the players are just going to quit because the manager's not Mike Shildt?
I'm saying that the team was in sync with Shildt. And for no reason, this guy gets fired.
Well, for no... Right? What do you mean no... Hold on. What do you know that I don't know? What do you mean no reason? What if they're right? I don't know that they're right, by the way. I'm not taking a side on it, Rob, because I honestly don't know if this is a good or a bad move. I really don't, because it might not work. And then it might work. If they win 95 games last year, does that mean they were right? I mean, next year. If they win 95 games next year, does that mean they were right?
I'm saying to you, if Flaherty wouldn't have gotten hurt, they would have won the division hands down. They were leading the pack, and then this guy gets hurt.
What was their record before Flaherty got hurt? It was pretty good, right?
They were kicking ass right and left, man. What are you talking about?
It was solid, right?
To my knowledge, they were leading the division. They were in front of the pack of the race. Mm-hmm. And then that happened, and then they tanked immediately after.
So you think that the front office just made some stupid emotional move that they just didn't consider all the ramifications for?
I think the whole thing was hastily called together. I don't think there's something going on here that we don't know about.
And but we're going to draw all these conclusions about things we don't know about.
No, I'm saying, why would you fire Shildt? There's no logic.
I don't have the information. None of us have the information because nobody's answering it, right? Nobody is saying that we did this. And Mike Shildt didn't say this is what happened either. Nobody's giving us that information. So all you're doing is like you know, like it's almost like you've watched too many conspiracy theory movies, and you got all these dots on a board you're connecting by string, and none of them actually connect.
I'm going to end it right here. Let me just say this. I've been following this team since I was 5 years old. And when you sense something isn't right, something smells funny, there's a stink here, and I say Mosaic has bought it, and watch the team tank next year. I'll call you next year when the team begins to tank, and we'll talk about it.
And
okay?
I know, and we won't hear from you when it doesn't happen, so that's okay.
Oh, no, you will hear from me.
How many times has this team even gone in a tank in the last 20 years? How would you even know what it smells like?
I say Schilt was a prize of a coach.
Well, I agree. He's not a coach. He's a manager, first of all. There's a difference. I agree. He was a good guy and a good manager.
All right. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rob. I got to tell you, dude, I don't understand where we draw these conclusions. And like, there are things we don't know. But here's what I do know. Everything's going to fall apart. What do you mean? Look, it might. I can't rule out problems. Nobody can. Just like we couldn't rule out injuries this year, right? How do I know that they won't have more big injuries next year? Like, you know, that Arenado won't get hurt in the spring or whatever. We don't know that. And yes, the injury of Flaherty was a big deal this year. But I think it's very odd that the front office is generally looked upon as a failure when they haven't had a losing season in 14 years. I know it's been a while since they won a World Series, right? It's been 10 years. I know it's been a while since they've been in the World Series. I'm down with all that. I'm right there with you. I don't understand where we're jumping to conclusions about these things. All right, do we have time for another quick call here? All right, let's do another one. Doug is next up. Hi, Doug.
Wow, thanks for taking my call, but I'm not sure I can unpack all of that. Just quickly, as exciting as a couple of the names are about possible managers, I'm not quite over how the Mike Schilt thing happened. And obviously there's stuff we don't know, which is why the previous caller starts to draw conclusions that may or may not exist.
Good point.
But does it seem uncardinal way to have a staff and a team and a coach's meeting, and then something changed so drastically between the end of that meeting and when Mike Schilt got back to North Carolina that suddenly now we have the difference of philosophies? That's where the conspiracy thing is.
Yep.
What happened in those 4 hours, and did you really fire the guy over the phone?
Yeah.
I'll
say this. Your first point is 100%. The lack of explanations and the closed nature of the comments from John Mosaic and Bill DeWitt Jr. are not helping. It's absolutely not. It's because you're 100% right. It's going to put people in a position where they're going to come up with their own answers to what went on. And now all that's going to do is lead to some wild conjecture and all that. You're 100% right about that. I got my issues with the phone call thing, too. I'm not going to lie to you, Doug. I think that, I think that's a valid question to make. You've had somebody in the organization for 18 years, and to fire them by the phone does seem a bit cold. I will say it's going to be bad either way, right? You don't want to fly that person to St. Louis and then fire them and have to send them back. That's kind of rude. The other option would be to fly out there to meet him, in which case he's going to be like, I wonder why they're coming to meet me. And maybe, but I do think that's the preferred way to do it, as opposed to, hey, calling the phone, you've been around 18 years and now goodbye. But I will say the other thing we don't know, though, is exactly how those meetings went. Who said what to who. All that. We have no idea. But I do agree with your two points. I think those things leave a lot of area for fans to question.
Can I follow up with something?
Sure.
So Mike Schilt was there 3 years, and I thought he did a great job. But I also remember, it was his first time major league managing. And as he's grown and done some things, don't you think that merits well for his future, maybe with another organization?
I think he's a good baseball man, and I do think he'll get a chance somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be a managerial job right away, although it very well could be. I mean, we've heard the rumors already about San Diego sniffing around. But yes, he's a good baseball man. He will land.
Some of the funk in June and July, in the future, you know, maybe there's some buttons to push or psychology to apply that, you know, you learn during that. That was really ugly baseball during that period of time.
Yep, yep.
And the response to Flaherty was somewhat disappointing for a team that has touted, you know, their depth and major league ready players to step in.
Good point, Doug. And I'll tell you this, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for calling in. I'd say that it was more than just the Flaherty injury, too, right? I mean, you didn't have Michaelis back as you had expected. You know, you didn't get anything close to what you thought you would get from the fill-in guys. And that's another big problem, right? I mean, you thought maybe Ponce de Leon could be a space holder, somebody that could keep you around. Didn't work out that way. Carlos Martinez imploded in his own right. You know, I mean, they basically had a lot more things go wrong than just the injury. There was, you know, again, it was clearly a roster problem. You had a lot of people in place on that roster that could not throw strikes, and it was absolutely killing them. And, of course, when they made the adjustment and brought in people that are going to throw more strikes and walk fewer people and rely on that defense more, clearly things got better, and they got better in a way that allowed them to get into that second wild card spot. So for sure, all of that was an issue. I think that, you know, that first point that Doug made is a really good point. And that is, you invite speculation when you don't provide answers. And I think that is a really fair point. If you're going to say, we fired him, but we're not going to tell you why, well, people are going to come up with their own reasons why. They just are. Because people don't like open-ended questions. People don't like mystery. They want to know why things happen. And if you don't know why for sure, well, then that's going to lead to people coming up with their own explanations, which is what Rob did at the beginning. All right, we got more of your calls coming up in a minute right here at on KMOX, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. We're just going to take your calls all the way up till the top of the hour here on Sports Open Line. All right, let's get back to your phone calls on a Monday night here on Sports Open Line. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Randy gets to go next. Thanks for calling, Randy. What's up?
Hey, I'd like to say goodbye and good riddance. I thought he was a terrible manager. He didn't manage with a sense of urgency. The last game of the season, you take Dave Roberts, pulled a first batter Hall of Famer out. He was throwing a lot of stress pitches in there. He got him out quick. Flip it over to the Cardinal side. Wainwright, other than the first inning, a lot of stress pitches, a lot of stress innings. Left him in too long, even though he only gave up the one run. You should have pulled him out with the guy on first base and two out. You never know. You might have caught one of the pinch hitters, might have caught one and hit it out like the Dodgers did in the ninth. Flip to the him bringing in Reyes. A guy who has blown so many games in the second half of the season, I hope he didn't wreck his career bringing him in that ruthless situation.
I'll tell you this. If that wrecks his career, then Reyes was never going to be great.
I done seen it happen before.
I know, but if that wrecks your career, then you weren't going to be great because you didn't have what it took to be great.
And another thing, he didn't have the balls. he showed preferential treatment to Molina and Wainwright. Whoever the next head man is, I hope he has enough balls to tell Molina, you betting eighth. You're not betting six or seven. You are betting eight. You're a liability. You have no power. You get into too many double plays. You betting eight. And have enough guts if Wainwright out there struggling. We're not trying to figure out you invent some while you out there pitching. Come on, you sit down on the bench. Something that he couldn't do because maybe they didn't. He didn't have enough pedigree. He didn't play at this. He didn't play in the major leagues. Have a big resume.
I missed the last part. What was he supposed to lay down? What was he supposed to lay down the law for Wainwright for?
Wainwright, he would be out there inventing stuff, making stuff as he go. You see the man struggling. You'll leave him in too long because I'm pretty sure Wainwright told him, "No, I figured out." No, it ain't no figuring out.
You come on and sit down.
He's
going to
get.
He's going to
get. He's going to get Cy Young votes at the age of 40. What's wrong with you? Like I don't under. I don't understand.
He's a what?
He's going to get Cy Young Award votes this year at 40 years old. And you're telling me that he needed to be harder on Adam Wainwright.
Let me tell you, no. You just need to know when the man is out there struggling and take him out. Dave Roberts took out a first bat. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer like Scherzer?
Yeah.
Dave Roberts put him out the four innings.
Why?
Wainwright would not see the Hall of Famer.
Hold on. The why matters here. Why did he pull at Max Scherzer at that point?
He was throwing stress innings, the same as Wainwright in that same game.
No, see, all you got to do is read the story, dude. Max Scherzer told him he was done. Max Scherzer said, "I'm done." And you know why Max Scherzer was done? Do you want to know?
He did not want to come out that game.
Dude, there's this thing called Google. Search Max Scherzer and look at the words that Max Scherzer said after the game. Max Scherzer said it, his own words. Max Scherzer said it, dude. All you got to do is look. Max Scherzer told him, I'm running out of gas. If we run into trouble, I'm going to need to come out. And he told him that because he pitched in the game the other day in the clinching game on short rest. And he's pitching today on 3 days. He was pitching yesterday on 3 days rest. This is all stuff that Max Scherzer said in real words in public.
Shouldn't be seen nowhere near the top six, seventh, eighth. He should be the eighth hitter. And is he playing ball right now? Is Molina playing in Puerto Rico right now?
No, he's running his basketball team.
Oh, okay, good. But he should be an eighth place hitter. He has no power.
So he
has no speed, and he's a dead poor hitter.
So we're clear on this, that the problem with the manager was he's not willing to be belligerent with two star veteran players. Now, by the way, I don't think it's a terrible point on Molina where he hits in the order. That part I don't disagree with. I do think that your lineup is going to be better if Molina is hitting seventh. I don't really like him eighth, to be honest with you, because in that scenario, when he's on base, what's the pitcher? Well, actually, next year it'll be a different conversation because next year there's going to be a DH. So I don't really care where it's – but I agree that Molina at this stage should probably hit where you're saying. So I agree with you on that. But, like, act like you need to get in his face and tell him, like, what's what. That's not how you win clubhouse. And it's also not how you treat people that are really good players that you need. This team is not going to be – they aren't ready to move on from those guys just yet. And Wainwright's your best pitcher, dude. I mean, he was only, what, second, maybe third in Major League Baseball in innings pitched this year. And, again, it's going to get Cy Young Award votes, and we're talking about those are the problems. Isn't it great, though, how we get two calls within 5 minutes of each other where one is mad that the manager wasn't very good and they should have fired him, and another person thinks the team is going to go into the tank next year because they fired him. Let's go to Steve next up. Steve, thanks for calling in, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin.
How you going?
Nice to talk to you. You're one of the brightest radio guys in town.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, but thank you.
I love hearing you talk baseball. So when you look at this offseason, I mean, with all of the money coming off the books, I mean, you're not paying Carpenter anymore. You're not going to pay Carlos Martinez, Andrew Miller, Dexter Fowler, probably a couple other guys, you know, don't really count Happ and Lester because you only paid them the last 2 months.
But right.
There's a lot of money coming off the books. I think they got to be aggressive. I think they need to get another starter, and I definitely think they need to get one of these free agent shortstops. How do you feel? What do you see them doing this offseason? Because part of me wonders if part of the philosophical differences was that did Schilt want them to be more aggressive, and they said, "Nah, I think we're gonna promote from within." And could that have been part of the reason that this happened?
I mean, it fits under the category of philosophical differences. You know, I mean, I haven't heard anybody specifically report that from sources in the organization or anything like that. But I would say probably not that direct. It's like demanding for this, but we did see, a team that didn't get reinforcements early in the year. Maybe there was some disagreement on how quickly they needed to move there or something like that. But it is going to be interesting to see where this goes. Now, keep in mind there, I've been tracking this too, talking about this too. There's definitely a lot of money coming off the books, but a lot of the players in-house are going to get paid a good bit more money this year. Right. So, I mean, Jack Flaherty is going to make more, even though he was hurt all year. Harrison Bader's getting a raise. Tyler O'Neill's getting a raise. Gallegos is arbitration eligible. Reyes is arbitration eligible. So all these guys are going to make more. So it's not going to eat up all of that money, but you're going to eat up some of it that way. But otherwise, I do agree that it's a good year to be aggressive. So let me throw this at you, because I asked this question last week, and I'm interested to hear what fans. So if anybody else is listening, I'm interested to hear what Cardinals fans think of it. Would you rather let it spend the bulk of it on one dude, or would you rather spread it around a little bit? I mean, would you rather spend the bulk of it on Corey Seager, who's going to be a $30 million a year player, or would you rather take the money and spend 17 on a starting pitcher and spend 5 on a reliever and then spend another 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever on a DH that's going to upgrade the middle of your order without having to spend the premium on that one particular position?
I'd rather spread it around. I know Seager's the perfect fit because he's a left-handed hitter.
I know. He's my dream player. I mean, he's like my favorite guy ever.
Right. And you could use a left-handed hitter. You've got one at a position you need to upgrade in, but I can't see them giving him $250, $300 million.
I mean, that's what he's going to – I mean, we don't know for sure. I shouldn't say that, but he's probably going to get that.
But, I mean, could you get Trevor Story cheaper and get your left-handed hitter in the DH spot?
That's what we don't know. Yeah. And I think Derek Gould made a good point on this, Steve, that you know there might be an opportunity there. And I don't know that he was speaking specifically on Story, but you know Story is coming off a down year. So if there's some hesitancy about that from other teams, and Story has the relationship with Arenado, I do think that there might be something you could exploit there. But certainly not. I wouldn't anticipate a $30 million a year player. Not when you're already paying Arenado basically that, and then you're paying, because he's 35, but with the Rockies money coming in, it basically cuts it down to 30 a year that you owe him. And then you throw in Goldie making, you know, 26, 27. I don't know that I see another $30 million salary coming in this year.
No, I'm with you on that. I think that, but Story, didn't the Cardinals kick the tires on him?
Oh,
I thought I saw some things on him about that. So
yeah.
It seems like you're a natural fit there. And maybe you get a left-handed hitting fourth outfielder that can play a lot against right-handed pitching.
His name's Lars Nootbaar. I like Lars Nootbaar. He's a good player.
What's his long-term upside? I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Tyler Naquin. If the Cardinals could have signed him and played him a little bit instead of Bader in center, I think that would have given them another weapon against right-handed pitching.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Before this year, Naquin was not a guy that anybody wanted. I mean, he had a breakout year. His last couple of years weren't that good.
He had a couple good years with the Indians. I always kind of liked him when he was on the Indians. But, I mean, just that type of guy that you could get to add another left-handed bat here and there in certain situations.
How about this?
Certain matchups. But
would you like Kyle Schwarber as your DH?
I would. I think he'd be a perfect
See, and Schwarber's not going to cost you $25 or $30 million a year, I wouldn't think, because he's a limited player. I mean, like, I don't know exactly what they're going to do or how they're going to go about it, but I do think this is an off season where you have opportunities to get better, where you have a chance to use the money that you do save to get a good bit better for next year.
Yeah, I do. I agree. And then just in closing, I think that, you know, with the prospects they have coming, you're set at the infield and outfield corners. You've got a couple really good young starters in Flaherty and Hudson, some good relief pitchers. I mean, Gallegos is really that Luke Voit trade doesn't look so one-sided now.
No, not at all.
I really think that with a little bit of aggressiveness in this offseason, this team could set themselves up not only for 22, but for years to come. I think the future is very bright if they just don't just sit down and come back with Paul DeJong at short even Sosa. I like Sosa as a backup, but I don't think you want him as your everyday guy. I think they need one more bat, and in a year where there's a ton of shortstops, and that's a position you could upgrade from. There's no excuse not to get one of these guys.
Well,
so I hope they're aggressive. And I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's like 6 free agent shortstops.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think one of them's got to be a Cardinal.
It's all relative, though. I mean, like I said, if I can upgrade the lineup at DH, I don't have to have a shortstop. If I can make shortstop a defense first position by going out and getting a middle of the order bat that's going to be my DH, I don't have to have a shortstop. I've got two guys that are pretty good defensively. And Sosa showed some pretty good offensive skills this year. And I don't mean that he's going to be an impact player, but whoever that shortstop is, if you go the DH route, they're going to be hitting 7th, 8th, 9th anyway.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Nolan Gorman's big league future at second base?
Yes.
If so, you
can
probably get away with Sosa.
For the short term.
He is going to be.
Yeah, I'd say at least for the first few years that Nolan Gorman is going to be in that mix at second base. I mean, the word that we've gotten on him from some of the prospect analysis folks like Keith Law and others is that he's a little bit better than expected. I mean, I talked to Randy Flores, like it was a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and he said that the defense at second base has been even better than they thought it would be. He's playing second base in the Arizona Fall League now. So, and again, that's kind of my point here is, I don't get me wrong. If they could get Carlos Correa, if they're going to get Correa or Seager or Story, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm in. I am in. Like, that player would be great. I don't have a whole lot of desire for Javi Baez, to be honest with you. Too erratic on the offensive side for the money that he's probably going to command. If you want to talk to me about Marcus Semien on a shorter-term deal with big dollars, I'm listening, and I'm in. I'm not saying no to any of them. But I'm saying there are other paths. You know, Gorman is really close to the big leagues. And if you're going to be getting legitimate power out of second base, either opening day next year or June of next year or August of next year or in 2023, I don't think you have to go out and spend the big money at shortstop. Again, I'll take it. I'm not going to say no. Just saying there are other ways to improve the lineup that don't require a $250 or $300 million addition. Again, maybe Story doesn't get that because he's coming off a down year. Very possible. You know, maybe Semien gets the AAV, but not the years because he's 31 years old. But I do so I wouldn't say that they have to have one of those guys, but I do think you have to have another bat with the DH coming in. And if you can have that lineup spot give you some more production and have Gorman as a potential option as the year goes along to bring you even more left-handed power, I'm not fixated on a position there. I guess it's probably the best way that I would put it. But yeah, if you could get me Corey Seager, that's my dream player. I think he's the perfect fit for anybody in that spot. He's just going to be really expensive. All right, a couple more calls, and we'll wrap up Sports Up Online next here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's wrap it up by getting back out to the phone lines. And obviously, we got a little bit more baseball to finish up with here. And then we'll turn you over to At Your Service coming up after the top of the hour. Next up, we got Vernell on the phone lines. Vernell, thanks for calling, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm going to give my comments in regards to the fine.
Okay.
I told a friend of mine 3 weeks ago that he would get fired. The reason I told him, I go St. Louis, Cardinals are winning team. They want to go to the dance, and they believe in winning. If you don't go to the big dance and don't win, they will fire you. And you check the record, and what I'm saying is when St. Louis are not winning team, they wouldn't make change. And I told him, and what Zach said, what happened? He got fired. And St. Louis are winning team. If they don't go to the big dance, they're going to shake up things. Look at their record. I mean, who's got a better record in the National League than St. Louis? Nobody. That's what I'm saying. He got fired.
You mean like long term?
Yes. In other words, who win the most championships? St. Louis did.
Right.
St. Louis and love the fans. St. Louis fans love to win. They have St. Louis to give you 3 million plus every year. Fans. They are dedicated fans. They want a winning team. When they don't win, they do not like that. And that's what happened. One of the philosophers, in fact, he didn't win. Let me tell you one thing about left hand batters, okay? I cannot understand a left-handed bat. Carlton is a typical left-handed bat, okay? They all pull. They don't push to left field. They always pull to right field. And you look at the history, when did we have this shift in baseball? We didn't have it years ago.
Yeah, you did. They shifted for Ted Williams in the 40s.
They didn't do it
to all lefties, right? But they did it specifically to him in some critical spots, yeah. But you're right. It wasn't common. It wasn't all the time.
Right. No. And what I'm saying is, look at Cardinal. He will pull that ball to right field every time. Can't push a left field, and you'll find left hand hitters will pull it to right field every time. But what I'm getting at, St. Louis are winning team. The fans like a winning team. And we didn't win. He didn't go to big dance. That's what happened. He fired him.
Vernell, good stuff, buddy. I appreciate you. And I agree that expectations are high. I don't think that's why they fired him. I mean, when you look at the standards set by previous decisions, you know, the only one we really have to go on, I guess, is Mike Matheny They let him go when it was in the third year that they weren't going to make the playoffs at all. Right. I mean, so I think that it probably was more. It's they did say, I mean, I'm going to say that we can take the team on at their word on this. They did say pretty much word for word, this was not about wins and losses, that it wasn't about the result of 2021. John Mozeliak said at the press conference last week that he thought the team was managed well this year in 2021. So I don't think that's it, but I do think that's where the mindset of the front office is moving forward, right? And that is, we've got to be continuing to grow and progress. And wherever these differences are, we don't want these differences when it comes to our manager. We want the manager to be on the same page with us, going in the exact same direction and not pushing back on these other things. And I'm not advocating good or bad. As I've said, I don't know if this is a good move. I really don't. I would love to come out here and say, this is a terrible move. I would love to come out here and say, this is a brilliant move. I can't, because I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end. Mike Schilt did a good job. He made the playoffs in all three of the years where he was the manager on opening day. And now, making the playoffs, as you point out, Vernell, is correct. This is not the goal. The goal is to win the World Series. But in the end, if you've made the postseason, it's been a good year. Now, there's a difference between a good year and a great year. And it's now been more than 10 years since they've had a great year. So, again, I do think that we all agree that the standards should be high in that regard. But I believe them when they say this came down to some kind of, I don't know, they didn't say argument, but when they said it comes down to philosophical differences, I believe that. Now the question is, who's going to be right? Is the new manager going to prove that the front office is right? Is the front office going to be doing things differently and being more aggressive in some ways, handling the pen or playing matchups or whatever? We're going to find out. But if this team comes out of this being more like Tampa Bay, more like LA, more like Houston, that won't be a bad thing. I just don't know if that's the way it's going to end up. Thanks for the calls tonight. We appreciate you guys. At your service, coming up after the news here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.